From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Another delay in BP's plans to begin plugging up its blown-out well in the Gulf with heavy fluid. Engineers were preparing to start a crucial test today but discovered a leak. That's due to be repaired tomorrow, and BP hopes to begin the so-called static kill. As NPR's Richard Harris reports, once they've done that, they can kill the well permanently with cement.
The oil in the well isn't moving at the moment. It's been held in place for more than 2 weeks by a cap. But that's a temporary fix. To make a permanent plug, BP says it will first pump some oil from a ship on the surface down into the well to get a feel for how fluids flow down there. Next, they plan to pump down very heavy fluid called drilling mud. And if they can fill the well with that material, it will act like a cork and plug it up. That will allow them to take the next step, pumping cement into the bottom of the well in order to seal it off permanently. That cement can either come from above, like the drilling fluid, or from below, through a relief well that's now close to intersecting the blown-out well. The mud pumping operation could take anywhere from a few hours to a few days. Richard Harris, NPR News.
A U.S. District Court judge says the state of Virginia's challenge to the new health care law can proceed. As NPR's Jamie Tarabay reports, that means it's more likely the Obama administration will have to go to court to defend the law.
U.S. District Judge Henry Hudson refused to dismiss a lawsuit which argues the new health care law's requirement that its residents have health insurance was unconstitutional. The challenge will now go forward, a setback that may force the administration into a lengthy legal defense. The new law is a major cornerstone of the president's domestic agenda. Officials say not only is it constitutional, but that it's also necessary to stem the huge increases in costs in the $2.5 trillion healthcare system. The judge's action could possibly set a precedent for other states that are also trying to undo the law. Virginia's lawsuit is one of several trying to get through the courts. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, Washington.
The House Ethics Committee is bringing charges against a second senior Democrat and member of the Black Caucus, Maxine Waters of California. The committee has been investigating allegations Waters requested federal help for a bank that her husband was connected with. It now says a public hearing will be held. Waters denies charges of any ethical wrongdoing. The nation's manufacturing sector expanded more than expected last month. The Institute for Supply Management says its manufacturing index registered 55.5 in July. That's lower than June's index and the third consecutive monthly decline, but anything above 50 indicates manufacturing is growing. And that drove gains on Wall Street today. The Dow picked up 208 points to close at 10,674. The Nasdaq rose 40 points to close at 22.95. This is NPR. A federal jury says two Islamist militants are guilty of plotting to bomb New York's JFK International Airport. The men were arrested in 2007, accused of conspiring to blow up buildings, fuel tanks, and pipelines at the airport. They could face life in prison. In Russia, a state of emergency is in effect for seven regions as fire crews work to contain hundreds of wildfires. Russian officials say firefighters were able to make some progress containing them over the weekend when there was a brief lull in a stifling heat wave, Russia's worst in more than a century. Mitch Miller, the man who led millions of American TV viewers in song during the early 1960s, has died at the age of 99. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett reports Miller was once one of the most powerful men in the music business.
Let me hear a melody. In the 1950s, Mitch Miller helped guide the careers of Tony Bennett, Johnny Mathis, and Rosemary Clooney. Miller also won praise as a classical oboist, but he will probably be best remembered as the leader of a male chorus that harmonized to nostalgic standards. In a 1978 interview, he said there was a lot of thought behind those Sing Along With Mitch records.
The idea was to make them a tempo that people could sing with, and yet make them interesting enough so that people who didn't sing wanted to hear them over and over again.
Some critics dismissed these sing-along records as corny, but the public ate them up. 20 different albums were produced, selling nearly 17 million copies, which led to a popular TV show. Miller died in Manhattan over the weekend after a short illness. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.
And I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.